Well, the big story this morning, there is confusion on the state of shipping in the Strait of Hormuz, with Iran saying that the vital passage is closed until further notice, while the US insists that it remains open.
It's open. We bombed the hell out of them last night. They're very, very evil and sick people. We had meetings with them for the last, they agreed to a deal yesterday.
That's US President Donald Trump. Well, US Central Command says it hit 140 Iranian military targets overnight on Saturday after the Iranian Navy attacked a container ship in the Strait earlier that day. Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps responded yesterday, targeting US sites in Jordan, the United Arab Emirates, Qatar, Bahrain and Kuwait. In the past few hours, the US has reportedly struck inside Iranian missile and air defence systems, along with military vessels in the strait. Hussein Ibish is a senior resident scholar at the Arab States Institute in Washington and joins me. Hussein, welcome to Radio National Breakfast.
Great, thank you.
Where do we stand right now? Are we back to all-out war, or are these retaliatory attacks with some kind of ceiling to keep the chances open of discussions continuing?
It's more the latter than the former. I mean, I think we're closer than ever to a return to all-out war, but there is this diplomatic, pathway still open. President Trump does not want to go back to all-out war. The Iranians also don't want to go back to all-out war, but they're willing to. And I think that that's basically the difference. This is another of a number of kind of very recent conflicts in which the nominally weaker party is actually advantaged by a few factors that didn't used to matter much in warfare. One is the rise of inexpensive and accessible drone technology and similar emerging technologies that are cheap and effective and allow small powers, Ukraine, for example, against Russia, Hezbollah against Israel in Lebanon, and of course, Iran against the United States and even Israel and their allies in the Gulf Arab countries, to use those technologies to level the playing field. The other is we've seen, again, Ukraine is an example of this, Hezbollah is an example of this, and Iran is an example of this, where the weaker power is more committed to the war, which they consider existential, than the stronger power, which has some limitations. And the weaker power is just willing to tolerate anything and go to any lengths and does not ultimately care about the cost, whereas the stronger power is thinking more in kind of measured strategic terms. And that gives the weaker power an advantage. So when you combine the new inexpensive technologies with the absolutely gritty determination to carry on and survive in an existential conflict on one side, with the sort of hesitation and limitations on the other side, and the financial imbalance where, you know, the stronger powers are using much more expensive weaponry than the weaker powers, that it all kind of levels the playing field and has allowed weaker powers a degree of advantage they haven't had until recently. And we just keep seeing it again and again.
Hussein, the other thing that's been ramping up over the weekend is strikes on the Gulf states. What sort of reaction have we seen from those states?
Well, they're still very upset. They have borne the brunt of this from the beginning. And it was one of the reasons they really didn't want the war. They didn't want the war because they thought they'd be hit hard, and they have been. Over half of Iran's retaliation has been on the UAE alone. And then when you add in Kuwait, Qatar, Bahrain, even their friends in Oman have been hit, Saudi Arabia, everybody. It's the main target because the Gulf Arab countries are a proxy for not just the U.S. and in the case of the UAE, Israel, but for the global economy and for kind of the plugged-in cosmopolitan international face of the Gulf region rather than Iran, which is has kind of turned its back on the world and said essentially we can go our own way, we can go alone, etc. And there are two visions in competition here. And certainly when Iran strikes those countries, it strikes the global economy, it strikes the energy system, it strikes the currencies and all kinds of aspects of the global economy and supply chains. And so for them, it's a way of getting the powers in Asia, South Asia, East Asia, et cetera, and in Europe and Australia, everywhere, to put pressure on the United States to end the conflict because it's too costly for the the whole world. And so that's another of Iran's assets here. And the Gulf Arab countries are unhappy, but they know they're going to continue to be the targets of preference for Iran because Iran can do it. They can get away with it. These countries are not going to retaliate that much. And also, it's a way of really putting very direct pressure on the United States by making the whole world fed up with the conflict.
Hussein, it's been really valuable to get your analysis this morning. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. Thank you.